Who's there?
Aren't you glad we have another podcast?
No, you're supposed to say orange, and then I say orange who? Come on, Evan. You don't know how to do a basic knock-knock joke.
Wait.
A basic knock-knock joke.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's been an actual day. Maybe you could give me some more fucking warning before you start the podcast.
I said, are you ready? Man, we've done this like 60-some-odd times now. You'd think that you'd have it under control whenever
I asked
you.
Yeah, every time we finished on a knock-knock joke that we followed through on the next episode.
I'll tell you.
Have we ever finished on a knock-knock joke rather
yes.
than the
no.
last time?
Yes,
exactly.
Multiple
That's
times.
The point. That's the point yeah. I make.
Listen, Evan, all I'm saying is that you should be prepared whenever I throw you a curveball like that.
I'm not even just start the goddamn podcast.
Hey everybody, this is day 4 of our Game of the Year deliberations. We're gonna start deliberating on some more categories. What do you say?
Whatever.
I don't think this is going well already.
What?
Hey, but fuck
Why?
You.
Why? Fuck you.
We're,
right?
we're already we're arguing. Having, we haven't even got
we're
to
having a
topic
conversation.
Yet.
We're having a conversation here. That's all this is. Just
conversation. Conversation about how I messed up the knock-knock joke. That's all this is. That's all this is.
Ugh.
What?
I don't know.
Let's go.
All right.
What's the first category?
Oh, P.S. What's the first category? The first category is something that we're going to talk about, and I need to remind you guys about anyway, but anyway... If we're pushing for time, Friday isn't going to work anymore, but Saturday can. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Best open world game. We got a bunch of open worlds to talk about here.
I can show you the world.
Far Cry. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Far Cry 3, Assassin's Creed 3, Sleeping Dogs, Retro City Rampage, Borderlands 2, Darksiders 2, Guild Wars 2, Lego Batman 2, DC Superheroes. Any others you'd like to add to this list?
No.
I think we got them all covered. All
right, then I want to take this time to cut Retro City Rampage and Lego Batman 2.
Sure.
Fine.
And Assassin's Creed 3.
I don't have a problem with that. Ryan might have something to say about cutting Assassin's Creed 3.
Yes. I don't think we should cut that. Yeah, I think that should be top 3.
I think that game's broken.
Why don't we get there and let's focus on some other stuff first?
All right. Well, then...
Does anybody feel strongly about Darksiders 2 being in this list?
No.
No.
It's cut.
No.
It's cut. It's done. It's over with.
It's done.
I would also like to cut Borderlands 2.
All right. Yeah, sure. Why not?
And I would also like to cut Guild Wars 2.
All right. Sure. Why not?
Well, okay, then Assassin's Creed 3 is in the top 3.
So I'd like to go ahead and say that Assassin's Creed 3 is stupid.
But...
just all I need to say about that. Far Cry 3 should win.
Yes, I agree.
This is a horribly uninteresting category.
Well, hey, you're like the one that suggested the category to begin with. So if you
want
to lead the charge with the conversation here, I think that Far Cry 3 is the best open world game this year.
As do I. I do not disagree.
I mean, I don't either. I was just expecting there to be more of a dispute here. That's all.
Why do we always have to fight, Evan?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But if we were to be numbering these, I'd say Sleeping Dogs goes above Assassin's Creed 3.
I would also agree with that.
Because Sleeping
you
Dogs...
guys really like Sleeping Dogs.
Sleeping Dogs has... It's a good game.
Haven't played Assassin's Creed 3.
That's true, yeah. I haven't played any of these outside of Sleeping Dogs, so... That's why I'm not saying much.
Yeah.
Is there anything anybody wants to say about open world games?
I think they're fun. I think Assassin's Creed 3 is...
broken?
Not even so much broken, because in my experience, boring, it wasn't broken.
Just terribly uninteresting?
Yeah. Yeah, it's more that what I hate to use the word boring again, but Assassin's Creed 3 was real boring, and I played like, I think, 6 hours, and I couldn't. I got
so you would like maybe barely just gotten your assassin's outfit.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Boston and I did some stuff in Boston as Connor.
Okay.
Did you go to New York at all?
No.
Okay,
New York is
last third of that game.
So New York is basically Boston, but bigger. It looks the exact same.
Right. I don't know.
There's a big boat there.
Feels like it seems like they just had too many concepts and too many things that they had to include because they were in like Brotherhood and Revelations, and then they had too many things they wanted to like add, and it felt like a mess.
Like ship captaining.
And the naval stuff from what I played was pretty fun.
Okay, yeah, but
it is so like weirdly disconnected from everything else in Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah, exactly.
That it becomes this issue. But this isn't, I guess, really the part to start dissecting Assassin's Creed 3 for anything but its open world.
Well, we should have done that during Jank of the Year, I'm just saying.
Well, we've got Game of the Year coming up. And anyways, Jank of the Year went to Resident Evil 6.
Yeah, but Assassin's Creed 3 should have won.
I mean, sure.
So, I mean, what nice things do we want to say about Sleepy Dogs?
Well, I was just going to say the reason I pushed for Assassin's Creed 3 to be in top 3 here is because compared to all these other games, Assassin's Creed 3 still has more going on in its world than these other games between the hunting
But none of it's fun.
I found it to be fun.
Sure. I mean, I can't dispute that.
I even kind of disagree with that. Like, I don't know. I would say that Borderlands 2 and even Guild Wars 2 have a lot more going on than Assassin's Creed 3 ever did. At least the environments are a lot more goddamn
interesting. Its mission structure and its certain areas.
Yeah, but the environments.
But Assassin's Creed 3 has like an actual, like almost living world, as in like you can. There's like these different animals like hunting and stuff like that.
Yeah, boring.
All right. Well, yeah, it's. The argument
you can hunt in Guild Wars 2, and that's more fun.
Is that really hunting?
Yeah, because you kill raccoons and stuff.
But is there like an infrastructure where you have to like?
Is
hunt
there an infrastructure
raccoons?
In Assassin's Creed 3? Really?
I mean, there is, right? You're given hunting challenges, and you need to go hunt things.
Well, you can probably join some, like, hunting clan or whatever. I don't know.
But the main problem I ended up having with Assassin's Creed 3's hunting was that Far Cry 3 had much better hunting.
Sure.
And Far Cry 3 wasn't based around hunting as much as Assassin's Creed 3 was.
Yeah, what? I just... Yeah.
What? Wait, Far Cry 3 wasn't based in hunting as much as Assassin's Creed 3 was?
Like, Far Cry 3 didn't make it as huge of a point. Like, I get, like, the crafting
and
everything.
This is a fucking grief. You need that hunting in order to actually craft all that stuff.
No,
without
but they weren't,
that,
like,
then...
They weren't like, okay, you're this Indian who, like, we're going to make all these plot points this makes you this character and stuff like that.
No,
what
you're saying is there's a story context to it rather than, like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. But Far Cry 3 implements the hunt, like, it gives you a point to using the hunting. In Assassin's Creed 3...
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Far Cry 3, its hunting is better than Assassin's Creed
also,
3, even though Assassin's Creed 3 makes a bigger deal out of it.
Also, if you kill more than 5 animals in Assassin's Creed 3 and you don't skin one of them, you get desynchronized.
Which is a problem with the hunting.
Fucking stupid is that? It's ridiculous. pops up on screen. Something like Connor never killed for sport. He was all about needing these animals. I was killing for sport. I was just shooting deer because I didn't have anything better to do while hunting. And then
I would sell the deer pelts. I mean,
no, I was just like out in the world. I got mad because I hit a tree and then the frame rate dipped down to 1 and I fell off of it. So I was like, okay, fine. I'm gonna kill this deer right in front of me. Whatever.
You really had a pretty complete turnaround on Assassin's Creed 3, Quinn. Because I feel like there was a podcast near when that game came out when I was complaining about a lot of stuff in Assassin's Creed 3 and you were defending it, and now it seems like you're even more negative about it. I feel like every time
Clint talks about it, he gets more and more angry at Assassin's Creed 3.
Because that game is broken. And a lot of the problems that I had with Assassin's Creed 3 started after that point where I played through the Haytham section. Like, that was the part that I was really enjoying. And then, once you...
I can't even fathom that.
What?
I can't even fathom how someone could enjoy that Haytham stuff. Because it's just so... just meandering. Like, we're gonna give you, I don't know, 30 seconds of walking around to, your next door. And you're gonna press B at the door and you're gonna watch a cutscene. And you're just gonna do that for, 4 hours.
And well, I didn't say that it was, whenever I first started that game, it made it a pretty good first impression, and then the rest of the game just kind of tanks.
Well, I'm which glad. Is, if, which is if which that is why how you feel about it. I'm glad I stopped playing because that was so I was so just bored to tears by everything. And if that is the highlight of Assassin's Creed 3,
you shouldn't go back to Assassin's Creed 3.
I'm not saying I'm going to, but.
I feel like we should move on and then talk more about this when we get the game of the year.
That's probably a good idea.
I don't.
Sleeping Dogs is real fun.
Yeah. You can drive real fast. There. Drive real fast and jump out with a pistol.
Go on one date with Emma Stone.
No, wait. You drive real fast. You jump out of your car with a pistol. It goes in slow motion as you're diving away from the vehicle, and the vehicle flips over, and if you shoot the tire, the vehicle explodes. How cool is that?
It's pretty cool.
That's what I do on my way to work.
Exactly. You never use the same car twice.
Also, the city's just extremely well rendered, and it looks really nice.
At night and when it rains.
Yeah, and it's fun to drive around in. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why it's number 2 on this list.
That's true. But Far Cry 3. Far Cry 3 is the best. I just sort of want to get out of this category because I feel like it's harshing our buzz.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about best open world game.
I feel like because these can all be conversations we can have later.
Sure.
Because Far Cry 3 is real good.
Yeah. Okay. Far Cry 3 is really, really good. It has a really good open world where a lot of cool shit happens, generally speaking. So yeah, best open world game. Far Cry 3, runners up. Sleeping Dogs, Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best RPG mechanic in a non-RPG game.
All right.
This is.
Do we want to change that to mechanics? To kind of.
Yeah. Because unless you want to specify a mechanic in each.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry that one letter completely changes the basis for the category. I don't really think that. I wasn't thinking about it like one thing, I was thinking about it like how a game uses whatever.
Right.
It's not a big deal. Yeah, we're just saying.
Yeah. That's why we were saying we should change it to mechanics instead of mechanic.
I don't... Whatever. Because there aren't mechanics on this list. There are games on this list. And so we were going to argue for the games that use the RPG mechanics. I don't see why changing one letter is going to really make a difference.
Well, I mean, best RPG mechanic sounds like you're going to specify one mechanic.
Yeah.
Well, we weren't going to. I was about to start explaining what the category was, and that would have alleviated any of this conversation that we're having right now.
But it wouldn't. If you explained the category in a way that we want it to be, and it was mechanic instead of mechanics, that wouldn't make any technical like sense.
Dear God. Okay, fine, whatever. XCOM, The Walking Dead, Far Cry 3, Darksiders 2.
I don't know why
2,
this has to be a thing. We
dogs,
weren't criticizing
Dishonored.
You for not putting an S on mechanics.
You kind of are, though.
No, we said
XCOM.
Hey, maybe we should change that to mechanics.
XCOM, The Walking Dead,
what the
Far
fuck
Cry
is
3,
wrong with you?
Darksiders 2, Sleeping Dogs, Dishonored, Assassin's Creed 3, Dustin and Legion Tale, Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
There's no reason for Dust to be on this list. Its RPG mechanics are fun, but they're not, like, revolutionary, nor are they really integral.
I don't know why Assassin's Creed 3 is on this list.
Neither do I. Cut that.
What is Sleeping Dogs? Oh, right, okay. The face level up.
Yeah, you upgrade your face.
You upgrade your face, man. You also upgrade your police and your triad.
Your face gets levels.
And then you can't wear glasses until your face is good enough for them.
No, I can't wear these clothes because my face isn't high enough in level. Your face.
My face.
I wish there was some sort of cosmetic change that went along with the face leveling.
Like you just start, like, shaving and looking...
Like your eyebrows become more defined or something.
You suddenly grow horns or angel wings, depending on how much of a cop or a triad you are.
Evidently, yeah.
Maybe I could suggest that we have The Walking Dead stay on, like, kind of secure that spot.
I feel like the RPG mechanics aren't, like, what makes that game so great.
I think how, you know, you're able to shape Lee as a person and...
Are you really? Are you really, though?
Yeah, you're not really like, actually shaping
him. That's the craziest part and one of the best parts about that game is how you think you're shaping so much of it, but you're really not.
Well, yeah, but it's definitely a flavor. There's definitely Lee can be a different person depending on who's
not
playing.
Really.
Not really. You're still
to a certain extent.
Not really.
To a certain extent.
I mean to a certain extent, certainly. It would be hard to deny that. Like you have dialogue choices that can make Lee either an asshole or a kind of good guy, depending on the situation.
You're not changing Lee as much as you're changing his relationships with people.
Right, but I mean that's how characters are defined in The Walking Dead is based on their relationships with other people.
Right, that's how most characters are defined in video games
to a degree. And regardless, even if you don't shape Lee as a person that much, I think the use of the timed dialogue choices on its own is an RPG mechanic in a non-RPG game that is used really effectively.
What's Far Cry 3 and Darksiders 2 and really Sleeping Dogs got going for it other than, like, a 3, eerie. There's some
like a skill
different
tree.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with skill trees, but...
I mean, well, then Dishonored also.
Dishonored has a lot
No,
more
hold on,
going
hold
on.
Term. Wait. If you say anything about the rest of the games that are on this list, if you count skill tree, all of these games are cut. Like the
well,
rest
no,
of these
not,
games
we're
are
not saying,
no, I'm, but
we're
what
not
I'm
saying
is
that having a skill tree
no,
makes you
what
I, invalid.
What I'm saying
for
is Matthew said, what do those have besides a skill tree? But if you were to say, what does XCOM have besides a skill tree? Well, then it's
oh, that's
too.
True. Yeah, you can get rid of XCOM.
Then you're looking at Black Ops 2 and The Walking Dead, and that's it. if you're saying to get rid of the ones with skill trees,
yeah, I feel weird about the.
I think we're jumping to a ton of conclusions here.
Yeah.
I don't feel like...
No, I'm just saying that what Matthew was saying
yeah,
is...
Yeah, I understand. I'm not,
yeah,
I'm not
I,
saying
I get it.
Wrong.
I recognize
what I'm
mistake.
Saying Matthew was wrong. Just hold on. Jesus Christ. We shouldn't eliminate things just because they have skill trees. That doesn't make any sort of sense. I think what I would like to try to deduce is... I mean, XCOM has a pretty basic skill tree that doesn't really feel like it's worth noting in this sort of situation.
Yeah.
Like what a game does with its skill tree is more pertinent, not
yeah,
just what
but,
it has
but,
a skill tree.
But with XCOM skill tree, like you don't get to choose the class that the soldier gets.
Yeah,
what you get to choose is the skills that are represented by them, and you only get to choose between one or two for each rank. But the ramifications that come about because of that one choice completely changes the type of character that you have in your squad based on that skill.
Yeah, but, like, the fact that you can't choose what class to make each person an XCOM...
But you can make hundreds
really,
of soldiers. Okay. Like, it doesn't matter. Soldiers
yeah,
are supposed
well,
to be
just
expendable.
Just because it can be alleviated doesn't mean that
so,
there's
no,
any reason why you can't select the cat.
But
class.
No.
Especially if you're just having shit luck.
But that's the whole thing. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you think about it in the context of that game, whenever you get a new recruit, you're like, it's like, you know, trying out for a football team. I've been watching a lot of Friday Night Lights. It's okay. Like trying out for a football team. Okay, you don't know what that person's talent is going to be, and so whenever they define themselves in that first battle as they're a squaddy, they level up. That you realize what they're good at. Or the game recognizes something that it's good
just,
at,
it's
and then
just
it
random.
Chooses
it's not
for
like
you.
If there's
no,
a hidden
I know that. I know that it's random, but like that is a game that just kind of fucks you over on a regular basis. And I think that what is really cool about like it just assigning you random classes is, hey, you might have 5 snipers. Well, work with it. Make it work. You know,
yeah,
your resources are stretched to the limit.
There are things in XCOM that I think cross a line from being this is a cool difficulty decision to this is just kind of like shitty bit. And unfair.
Yeah,
and
but I don't
can't like I don't, especially when the skills are so locked and so prohibitive where. Like you don't have the ability to cross between skill trees. There is a skill tree for each class, idea that if a dice roll doesn't go my way, then I could have 5 snipers. That's not fun. That's just like the game is saying, well, here's this thing that pretty much every other game like this allows you to do, but we're gonna take that away because you know we're
but hardcore. The skill tree itself, like. That is really the RPG mechanic, not choosing what class they are. That's not an RPG mechanic in this game because you can't choose that. The skill tree itself is really crazy because of how much one skill can impact that character.
Right, but the skill tree is dependent on a key piece of that being there that's just sort of broken and not there. Is what I'm saying.
I don't see what you're adding to it by saying, yeah, I want to choose that this guy is a heavy and this guy is a support
because
class.
They're totally different. They're totally different classes with different abilities and skills. And there should be no reason why I can't say, like, if the game gave me the choice of rolling around with a squad of snipers, that would be one thing, but it doesn't. And how frequently that game dicks you over and says, well, this guy's dead and you're never getting back.
Right.
That's
the best part because then you just spend like less than $100 and you got a new guy. Like the guys are expendable and they're supposed to be expendable. It's a choice that is directly inherent to what XCOM is all about. It is all about making the best out of a terrible situation.
Well, then maybe I don't like what XCOM's all about. Look, here's what I'm saying. If I have a, like, really high-level heavy, and let's say that high-level heavy dies, and then I could theoretically go for the rest of that game and not get another heavy. I'm not saying that's likely, but it could happen. And that would be awful. That's just an awful decision. I don't see how... You know, there can be compromises made. You could say that, well, you know, it's the game is so good in the other areas that it's not that big a deal. But I don't think that's viable as, like, as a difficulty decision, and I don't think that it's fair to say that that's not part of the RPG mechanic, because it isn't, and that's an issue.
I don't think that, like that is a bad thing, because, like, every single time that you get a new recruit, you know, like, it's that dice roll, but, like... It's not a terrible thing, because they're expendable. Like I don't see why you can't get past the expendable.
As the game goes on, they become considerably less expendable, in my opinion.
Right, and so then you've got So then you craft your squad. If they become less expendable, then you craft your squad that is really badass. You equip them with the best armor, the best weapons. They're not going to get taken down at a moment's notice because you have crafted them based on their skills and how they use their skills in battle and the way that you position those characters is directly inherent to what skills they have and what class they are, but your strategy is dependent on what your situation is, which is like what your class list is. If you've got 5 heavies, then you're going to want to rush in. If you've got a squad full of like a variety of different types, your strategy is completely different. Like that dice roll.
It feels
roll.
Akin to saying, like, in StarCraft, it would be cool if there was just a giant red button and you push it and you don't know what type of thing is going to spawn.
I like.
Would that be fun? Because then you would have to adapt your play style based on whatever the game randomly decides
through,
to give you.
Through what I played in StarCraft like 2 story, like whenever you're going through the story missions, I was given units that I wasn't used to, and it taught me how to use those units
right,
and develop
right.
a strategy
but
for those units.
Given scripted units for a specific mission that's designed around telling you how to use those units is different than what's happening here.
Like, I feel like the StarCraft analogy doesn't match up as much because StarCraft is based around you, like, building up specific units. Like, that is your playstyle of the game compared to where it seems XCOM is, like Clint said, almost like taking what you have and then using it that way.
I mean, your
metaphor or analogy would make more sense if, like, in XCOM, you are bringing in people during missions, but that's not the case.
Sure. I guess I feel like, to a degree, the fact that you're not bringing them in during the mission makes this oversight even more egregious.
I don't think so, because but that is breaking what that game is about. Do you want to break what that game's about?
It's not.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You have a squad of 6 dudes. If those dudes die, you're fucked. The world is fucked.
Okay.
So then you pick yourself back up, you go in with a fresh group of 6 guys, and you try your best again.
Right. A fresh group of 6 guys who, because the game decides, might be utterly useless to you.
I've never found
the game
gradually
becomes
when did the randomization element actually dick you over? When did it actually dick you over? I never had a moment where I lost someone, brought in a squaddy, and then didn't get something that I couldn't work with.
I mean, there were definitely times when I had a bunch of rookies, and I was like, I just lost my heavy. I really hope one of these guys turns into a heavy, and then they
But the thing is, you don't need that heavy. You can then craft your strategy around
whatever that unit becomes.
I'd like
to have options available to me.
But that XCOM isn't about those types of options. XCOM isn't about choosing that specific class. It's choosing what skills that class uses to then make it effective for your strategy.
Okay, fine. I just have a fundamental disagreement with what the designers want their game to be. And I can't argue against that. So if you feel strongly about XCOM's RPG mechanics, then put it on the list.
No, if you feel that strongly against XCOM's RPG
mechanics. I think
RPG
it's pretty
mechanics.
Obvious that you feel more strongly for it than I feel against it, so be my guest. Because if that is truly the case, and that's what XCOM's about, then I know why I stopped playing XCOM.
XCOM's a really good game.
I'm sure it is.
It's a very good game. You should give it another shot.
I'm not going to. Especially not after this.
So let me tell you about the power of the Tatao.
I don't think Far Cry 3 should be on this list.
I don't think so either. I just want to talk about the Tatao.
No.
The Tatao.
It's awful.
The Tatao gives you the power of the Ratchet Warrior.
It's the dumbest shit. It's the dumbest, just like, medicine man in the jungle bullshit.
The Tatao. The Tatao gives you your power, and then it magically appears on you whenever you get a skill upgrade.
I think that's more of a cosmetic thing than an actual part of the mechanic, though. But
we've cut the game. Like, that game is getting cut. I'm just talking about the Tatao.
Because
I think the
Tatao
is dumb.
It's the opposite of awesome.
I think it adds to your character's complete douchiness that he's just getting this sleeve tribal tattoo.
And then your girlfriend's like, what's up with that tattoo? He's like, please, it's a Tatao. It gives me my power. Don't worry about it, bitch.
I don't want to play as an asshole. If the game never addresses that he's an asshole. That sounds lame.
I would like to cut Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
How come?
Because even though it's an interesting and new mechanic used in any Call of Duty game, it's still not
It's still pretty rudimentary, like.
Okay, then let's cut The Walking Dead, because it's not a new. Okay, it's still rudimentary.
Let's not compare the effectiveness of certain.
It's the exact same thing that's in Alpha Protocol. Like, it's the exact same thing that's in Alpha Protocol.
What?
Look, it's not just.
But Alpha Protocol wasn't good.
But the dialogue options work the exact same way.
But I'm saying Call of Duty Black Ops 2, even though the RPG mechanic is new to that series, it's not good. Like, it's not good compared to the RPG mechanics that the same RPG mechanics
in others. Version of that mechanic, or maybe it's good. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like it's a great version of that mechanic, or especially noteworthy one. The Walking Dead takes a mechanic that was, yes, as you say, an Alpha Protocol, but it uses it more effectively than I think any game has ever has, which is the distinction.
I'm not arguing against that. I'm just saying that, like, saying that it has an RPG mechanic that's used before.
No one's saying that.
No, I know. But that's why I spoke up in the first place, because that is what Ryan said.
Okay. Ryan?
Yeah.
Did you misspeak?
Well, I guess.
Okay. He misspoke. Let's move on. Let's cut Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Darksiders 2.
I don't really think Sleeping Dogs has a place on this list.
You level up your face.
I think the list we're looking at here is Walking Dead, Dishonored, and XCOM at this point.
Yeah, I was getting to Sleeping. I just want Sleeping Dogs to last a little bit longer.
Sure.
So we can talk about your face being leveled.
Just
talking about Dishonored for a moment. I think the morality RPG mechanics are kind of awful in that game.
How so?
I think it's weird when you're doing ostensibly a lot of awful shit, even in a low chaos setting, and you can kill, like, you know, 10-15% of the people and get just like a completely different ending from like 25%. You know,
I guess I feel like the game pretty clearly establishes that it's not a morality system in a good bad sense.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that it is high and low chaos is that distinction, I think, is very important to what Dishonored is, I guess. And I don't feel like the endings are that. Either way, everything's still sort of fucked.
Yeah.
There's a degree to which.
And I feel like the subtlety within that mechanic is really cool, on how if you're going through a couple of the beginning levels with high chaos, the farther you go, the more, like, rats and stuff you'll come across. I think the subtlety to that is actually really cool.
It doesn't even feel analogous to, like, how one of my major complaints with BioShock was, like, I can kill one little sister and I get that bullshit awful ending where, like, I'm a splicer. And I don't even think that's mainly because the endings in Dishonored are more, like, well-rounded, I think, and better thought out for both ends of the scale. And also, I just feel like the game sort of distinguishes itself from that kind of, like, cut-and-dried morality, even though it still sort of is that. The fact that it's more about, like, you being outwardly violent has a toll on everyone and, like, the city.
Okay.
Like, the way, as Ryan said, the way the city sort of subtly changes, I think, is more impressive and outweighs whatever sort of problem.
That's one might true. Have that's cool. Yeah.
The ending stuff.
Yeah. And I think it's also kind of funny, just, like, talking about the ending of that game, how it seems like the people who experience one ending would prefer to experience the other ending.
Like, yeah, that's true.
No, they're both kind of meh, in my opinion.
No, I mean, like, I got the I got the low chaos ending, and
yeah, me too.
After seeing what the high chaos endings were, I almost wanted to do that. Like, I wanted that to play out because I thought that was much more interesting. And then Clint got the high chaos ending, but then saw the low chaos ending, and he thought that the low chaos was more interesting. I just think that's kind of interesting and funny.
I was thinking about it more of like interesting for you being low chaos. Like in the end of the low chaos ending, you know, you've been this silent assassin that no one really like has interacted with, because it is just, you know, he has his target, he kills his target, and no one's the wiser. So like they devolve themselves, like they start going crazy and they end up fighting it with each other, and you know, like one's poisoning the other one and then stabbing one of the guys. And then if you've got the high chaos, they're still fighting with each other, but it's a much more violent and loud fighting, where there's a hole in the side of a wall the lanky face guy is all like, you know, you guys are terrible. What are you doing? You're doing this wrong. I should be running this place. And then the other guy's like, shut up. And then he shoots him. And so like he's dying there already. You know, it's just very loud and very, you know, it relates to the ending in a really interesting and clever way that I don't think that a lot of people really pick up on whenever they think of that, you know, being an RPG mechanic in the game, like how your actions inadvertently affected other people.
Yeah, I didn't even really pick up on that, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah, which is why it should be on this list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it should certainly be on this list, looking at what else we have on this list.
I think we should cut Sleepy Dogs and Darksiders.
I agree.
But let's just be said, you can level up your face.
Level up your face.
In Darksiders, it's really cool how like there are two different trees. You know, one is a more ranged magic type, the other is a more melee focused, you know, hard hitting type. And you can mix and match if you want, but I found myself min maxing more than I was combining, which I don't really like. And you know, like I want to be able to have that experience of eating all these different from these different pies, you know. I don't want to stay.
And I think one pie. Bones in terms of like what most skill trees are, then if that's the end result.
I think that it also speaks a little bit for the combat system, where you feel like you can focus on the ranged combat because there's some really cool stuff, or like the ranged tree because there's some really cool stuff going on there.
Yeah.
But the melee combat is still really good enough, even without those skills in the melee tree.
Yes.
To like want you to go there.
And with Sleepy Dogs, by the end of the game, you've leveled up all of the skill trees completely. Like they're very one path oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So. Yeah, like it's like the branches are just 5 and 5, so you just max out one and then you just go to the other one.
Yeah.
So. It is not terribly sophisticated.
No.
In the way it handles it. Although you can totally level up your face, which is as sophisticated as it gets, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
Yep.
You'd be high class or low class.
So it looks like we've got XCOM, The Walking Dead, and Dishonored on this list.
Which I think comes down to The Walking Dead and Dishonored, judging from the conversations that we've been having so far.
I mean, I've already conceded to have this
But I'm saying that I think that of these three, Dishonored is the best, mostly for what I've already said.
I would agree with Dishonored.
I think the variety of dialogue options and time dialogue options in The Walking Dead is extremely integral to a lot of the best parts of that game. Like, and I think it, more than anything, it really fosters this sense of, like, this illusion, really, of if I had just done something faster, this might have happened differently.
But which that's is just an illusion.
Yeah, sure.
At it's the a end nice of the illusion. Day,
at the end of the day, a lot of things are just illusions.
But when that illusion breaks, it doesn't seem as great.
Sure, but when, like, right. You know, when you do a certain amount of things in Dishonored, you know, how things will end up.
Yeah, I guess I feel like those are analogous. It's like the way you know, you said, like, oh, you never noticed the way that your actions would inadvertently affect people in Dishonored. When you break that illusion and break that down into just sort of the binary system that it is, it's also not that impressive or impactful. It's all about, like...
So I feel like that's different than saying, but no matter what you do in Walking Dead, no major plot point is actually going to change.
Basically, what we're saying is RPGs are kind of stupid.
Oh, yeah. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, that's what
I mean,
saying.
Final Fantasy 13 too.
Also, there totally are parts in The Walking Dead where a timed choice results in something. There are times when you have to, like, choose who to save.
Carly and Doug.
No, but that doesn't affect the overall, like, arcing plot of the game.
Well, sure. I mean, Dishonored's plot
but it
really
affects how you
beyond
feel.
The slideshow of an ending.
I mean, it affects how you feel.
Yeah, and that's ultimately a more important, I think, like emotional attachment and really benefit than what Dishonored is, which is admittedly very cool, but I mean, I don't have an emotional stake in the characters of Dishonored or the world of Dishonored. It's a lot more clinical.
But I feel like if we're going to talk about emotion, like your emotional stake in Walking Dead, that's more towards the writing than it is just the mechanic of having timed
jobs. Well, it's not just... I mean, they complement each other, certainly, but the reason the RPG mechanic is so good is because the writing's there to back it up, and they know when to use it.
Yeah.
I mean, by the same token, if the world was no fun to explore in Dishonored, then it wouldn't be that cool if it changed. But since the world is fun to explore, and since the art design is really good, then that mechanic becomes better. If we're going to just start isolating these things, then I guess XCOM should win.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because XCOM,
sure.
Game of the year.
Sure.
Just get it out of the way now.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I think The Walking Dead should win. And I think that I'm going crazy watching Clint's cursor.
I know, I was just saying the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Matthew, what are you?
I'll go Walking Dead.
What do you think, Clint? You still on the XCOM ship?
I really like the fact that you can always choose an ellipses.
Yeah, I like that too.
I also really like the fact that you can choose what curse word you're going to get interrupted in while someone's cutting off your arm.
Yeah, like, there's a good example of a really great use of that mechanic. The way they have that timed option right before your arm gets cut off, and no matter what you choose, you never finish it. You're always interrupted by the cut.
And,
like, that's so good.
And the other moment that I really remember, in 3, you're trying to calm down the situation. You choose a dialogue option, and like, you're about to start speaking when Lily pulls the gun on Carly and shoots her.
Right. Like, that was the instance in particular where I was like, there must have been something I did wrong here.
Yeah.
Maybe I did not move fast enough. And when
that is
happening in the moment, that's so effective.
You know what? For all we know, if you choose Doug, he might live to the end of that game.
No.
Who knows?
Just the 8% of people that have played that game and chose Doug have not spoken up about it.
No. Doug's
I don't know. I would suspect that there's something where Doug dies and you stick with Carly. Because there is too much bred into that game between, like, Lee and Carly for... I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they totally wrote more than I was expecting them to, but...
I'm pretty sure Doug can continue on as a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty sure, but no one here knows.
Because we're all sensible goddamn people.
We want to protect the female because we're all males trying to protect...
Yeah.
Or because Carly's just a better character in that game at the point that you have to make that decision.
I mean, really, I just want to protect Carly.
I was really disappointed that there was no attempted rape involving Carly, because how else?
Yeah.
Zombie rape. She was about to get zombie raped.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Okay, I'm glad that I can protect her then.
That's fair. So I think The Walking Dead wins. Unless Ryan, you feel real strongly about Dishonored,
but I also really like how Dishonored, like, you're not necessarily making a choice. You're making a choice in how you play the game, yes, but like, you're not necessarily making a choice to to drive this city to the brink of utter destruction. And yet that is what eventually comes because of your actions. Like this in the same effect of, you know, trying to make a choice and then, you know, and then Lily shooting Carly in the face. Like, you're trying to save the city and get revenge, you know, put the proper people in power. But whenever you do that, the rug is pulled out from under you, and you realize that, you know, horrible people will always be trying to dick other people, other, you know, I guess considerably moral people. They're trying to dick those people over to get the power that they think they deserve.
Which, right, I think is, but just I think by is the very, virtue of Dishonored's story being so lackluster in comparison, I feel like that mechanic is less well utilized.
And then Dishonored, on top of that, also has a skill tree.
Yeah.
It's
sure.
It's maybe if, really flat skill okay, tree, but I guess
if we,
skill
if, tree. If I mean, it's mechanics, so if we're going with the most, then
why
it goes
not?
To just...
That's not what mechanics... Don't
I
want to
bring back Hell Yeah, Wrath of the Dead Rabbit, if we're talking about the most. Because that game has a lot.
That's going to win most game.
Most game.
Actually, most no, game. Resident Evil 6 should probably win most game. There's a ton of game in that.
It's all great.
I feel like... talking about Dishonored makes me want to go with Dishonored just because of, like, how those two different chaoses, you know, can so greatly affect, like, how you view the world of Dunwall at the end of the game.
I mean, I would agree with you if I don't want to, like, view these mechanics through, like, a microscope. Without paying attention to anything else in these games. Because ultimately, an RPG mechanic is pretty much as good as it is utilized and presented. And I feel like, while Dishonored has a lot of really good ambition in terms of the way the city sort of falls apart, I was never invested enough in that to ever appreciate it beyond just sort of like a very academic, like, that's a cool system. And I think in The Walking Dead, sort of the best thing I can say about it is that I almost even, like, forgot and stopped considering it as a system while I was playing it. I was just like, shit, that was on me, and this is awful. Like, the immersion is much greater with The Walking Dead, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Hmm. I don't know.
Like I said, like, I can understand it going to Walking Dead, but I still think Dishonored.
The immersion of like the great part about how Dishonored emerges immerses you within like within that RPG mechanic, like it's so well defined itself that you know, it knows how you're reacting to the world, and is going to make changes based on that. While the only thing that you really need to understand is, you know, how the world is reacting to. Yeah, there are more rats around, and then that stuff. Like, the only direct implication to what your level is at the end of a mission, it says high chaos or low chaos, depending on how you reacted in that one mission. You never get an overall meter or anything like that. And so you're constantly making, at least I was constantly making decisions, like on how I wanted to go through the level and not on whether or not I wanted to view the high chaos or the low chaos ending. I think that it's immersive in the fact that I never really thought about it. Like, I never had to think about it, just like you never really thought about how the choices were presented to you, but rather how you, your, the, like, people reacted to whatever it was that you said.
Sure. Right. I agree with you in terms of Dishonored, in that I was never really, like, out to get a specific ending, and that was more based on how I wanted to play, which is a really neat way to sort of make a morality system, like, in a game like that. But at the same time, I still consider... I consider Dishonored's mechanic there just kind of like a cool trinket, almost, whereas I feel like The Walking Dead's mechanic is more, like, deeply intertwined with, like, why The Walking Dead is so impactful a lot of the time. Like it's true that Dishonored's mechanic is well used, but I don't think it's as well used, and I think, especially in a game as unique and focused as The Walking Dead, I think its mechanics stand out a little bit more as being better designed and sort of thought about. And
but I don't think it's simple player choice with a timer.
Well, yeah. I mean, what if we're gonna start doing that?
No. I'm not doing that. I'm not drilling it down to what the actual mechanic is. I'm trying to, like, the way that it's presented within the game is an interface pops up and says, which one of these do you want to choose? You have 5 seconds to choose it. Go.
Sure. I guess that's true. I mean, I can't say it's not. That's factually true, yes.
And within Dishonored, it's well rooted into the ideas of the world itself. Like, there is a disease running rampant in that world. If you kill people, you are adding to that plague. You are adding to the infestation.
But it's only so marginally, like, better hidden. Like, at a certain point, the only way they could shove that in your face more in Dishonored is if there's a, like, visual bar that ticks up or ticks down. But I think that the spectrum you're on at the end of every level.
But I think the refrain
does not fully commit to that idea.
But I think the refrain from it is what makes it work. Like, the refrain from putting a meter on there is what makes that work a lot better than any game that has that similar kind of morality in it.
Right. I mean, I agree. I said as much in, like, the second opinion I wrote, but I think what we're dealing with right now is two very good games with two very good uses of a certain mechanic, and I just think that The Walking Dead, its mechanic is all around just more integral and more impactful and more necessary. Like, if I had forever to make all those decisions in The Walking Dead, it would cheapen a lot of the decisions in The Walking Dead. And I don't necessarily feel like Dishonored without that system cheapens Dishonored.
I mean, yeah, sure.
Well.
Clint?
I don't know where we're at now.
What do you mean?
Like, We're running around and around saying the exact same thing for 10 minutes.
You know
now.
What? I concede.
Dishonored I don't feel wins. Like we've been saying the same thing. I feel like we've been pretty much elaborating.
We're elaborating on the same point over and over again, and it's not going any further than you thinking that it's directly integral to the Walking Dead experience, and I agreeing with you, and me saying that the way that the systems in Dishonored work well impact that world and are well integrated in so far that it's not obtrusive and, you know, it's more directly related to player action rather than like just, you know, I don't it's not that it is like I feel like now it's just one is more predominant and more forceful because that is how the game is based around, and one is just a really good refinement on a problem that I've seen a lot of games have, you know, Mass Effect, Fable, like games like that, Fallout, that have these morality systems where you have a good path, you have an evil path, and it is directly labeled right in front of you. Dishonored just kind of says, you know what, it doesn't have to be right in front of you. It can be within the world rather than within the player. And I think that is a better use of an RPG mechanic than saying here are some player choices.
It's not just that there are player choices. It's the way The Walking Dead is built around. You have two awful choices. Neither is going to help anybody, and you'll feel like a shitty person, and you need to do this fast. Like, there's a very, like, sort of animal reaction you have to, okay, yeah, I'll cut this guy's leg off since he's in this bear trap. Like, yes, Dishonored systems, once again, really well integrated, but they're still not... I just don't really feel like they're operating with the same level of, like... They're not caring as much about Dishonored as those choices, I feel like, are carrying The Walking Dead.
All right, where are we? Matthew, Ryan, come into this.
I don't know.
I still prefer Dishonored's form of the morality and everything over the just time dialogue options. Like, I don't feel as passionately about it being timed as Evan does.
Well, okay. We can give it to Dishonored then.
Yeah. I'd probably go Walking Dead, but I want this.
At this point, I feel like the tide's shifting away from The Walking Dead, so we should probably just call it for Dishonored.
I don't want it to be I stood up a wall and then you guys couldn't knock it down, so we're just going to concede.
This is a mutual. These are two walls.
No, but right.
This is not that one.
Also, that is debating.
Yeah, that's
well,
just the nature.
Yes,
of
it is, but I mean, we have two people on two sides, and then we have two people who are waiting in the wings because they, you know, I guess like don't or are saying the exact same things or are just listening to our sides of it. I want to know, you know, like based on what we've been saying, what sounds to you, Matthew, like the better RPG mechanic in a non-RPG game?
Probably Walking Dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you, okay, like, I mean, I want it to be a fair and equal decision because these are both really great games. No. What I'm saying is, like, if we're conceding, where are we conceding? Like,
we're conceding at the fact that we have opposing views, and that I think that Dishonored is really excellent. I have fully processed all of the arguments in favor of Dishonored. And I think they're all well stated and interesting, and I think they reinforce how good Dishonored is. But I mean, I still think, at the end of the day, that the Walking Dead has a better use of it. But I mean, this is not the first time on this list where a personal opinion of mine has not made it into the representation of what wins the category.
I guess I just feel that this one is the more, like, this is pretty much split down the middle. Like, we all four, well, Matthew to a lesser extent, but we all four really like both of these games, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but, like, I don't... I know that this category has been taking a long time, and yeah, we should move on. But I don't want it to just be.
How about we just give it to XCOM?
All right.
Okay.
No, we're not.
That wasn't. That was. I'm not. I don't want XCOM to win. Please don't take that seriously.
Ryan, make a statement here. Well, you haven't been talking this whole time. It has been Evan and I.
It was earlier when we were talking about Dishonored, Matthew, about the entire morality assaulty of it that I really like. God damn it. Like, everything that Clint said about Dishonored is what makes me love that game. And the fact that he even pointed out that the subtlety of the people reacting to how you react and them acting that way makes it even more interesting to me. So I mean I don't know what more that can be said about it.
Sure.
Okay. I wanted to know your viewpoint and now I want to know I just wanted to elaborate on why you think Dishonored over The Walking Dead in this and
like I said earlier, Evan's point of The Walking Dead being a time decision does not resonate with me as much as I feel like the subtlety of Dishonored is great towards that game.
Okay, and now, like, I just want to pose the same question to Matthew. I want to get all sides. I guess that's what I'm saying. I want to get all sides of it. I don't want it to be just Evan and I state some points, and then we vote on it. Like,
I just really don't feel that strongly one way or another, so I probably shouldn't really make me the deciding vote.
We're not making the deciding vote. We're just trying to get a feel of what your vote is.
No, not even a vote. Like no vote. I want to know where are you standing? Like what is it that you feel about the way that each of these games uses a choice and like from your gut, how do you react to these two very different but very good mechanics?
I just feel like I'd be restating exactly what both of you said. Like, I agree with both of you. I just, you know.
Here's what I will say. And I think that this is why Dishonored should win. Because I think if we look at descriptions of both of these systems, that Dishonored is somewhat inarguably more elegant than The Walking Dead. I think it would be hard to say that it's not. Because The Walking Dead is, on its face, unsubtle. It just says, yep, here's a timer that's going to count down, and here are your four buttons and your four dialogue choices.
And it's not to say that's a bad thing.
Right, and like I personally think that lack of subtlety sort of goes a long way in what that game is trying to achieve emotionally. And I think it...
to some extent, I think Dishonored's not exactly subtle with its systems either.
No, I think it is.
You do? Right.
I mean, I think it's subtle... Apart from
not every time you kill somebody, it does not say your chaos has
level up. You leveled up your chaos.
Like I think it's easy when you know we do this when we write stuff about video games to be in such a bubble where like yeah, of course it's Dishonored, the chaos thing. But like if somebody just started playing Dishonored, I think it would be very easy to not recognize that there's a morality system at play.
Okay.
Because I think it's extremely – it is well hidden and it is well contextualized in a way that The Walking Dead is not. So okay. That's why I think Dishonored should win, even though I think Dishonored's more elegant system is utilized worse than The Walking Dead's less elegant system.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, then let's call it then.
Okay. Dishonored, best RPG mechanics in a non-RPG game, runners-up The Walking Dead and XCOM.
How about we get rid of XCOM?
Shit XCOM.
How about we get rid of XCOM and throw on Far Cry 3 for the power of the Tatao?
That's not.
Okay, all right, fine. That's fine.
I mean, if we're going to do that, we might as well put Sleeping Dogs up for Fate.
Let's not. Let's move on.
Hey, I'd like to pose a new nominee.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Nintendo Land.
For some of four coins. Golden. The dating sim.
Well, is that actually an RPG?
Yes.
It's a dating sim.
It's an RPG.
Yeah, I know it's an RPG.
Worst banter. Worst banter.
Ooh.
Yeah. We have four nominees here. I'm gonna say these out. Say if you've got any more that you would like to nominate. Think about it while I name these. We got Resident Evil 6 for not a fan of sewers, huh? Prototype 2 for that awful computer monologue about the squiggly line key and the blue key, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was good.
Tiny Tina for being absolutely fucking atrocious at everything that she ever says ever.
That's a good point.
Lollipop Chainsaw, Evan, I don't know why that one's on.
Because Lollipop Chainsaw has some terrible goddamn banter in it.
Okay.
I think it's what we're going to cut from this list because okay. There's also some really funny stuff in Lollipop Chainsaw. Mm-hmm. But this is also a game that's brought you such hits as a zombie says, like, I'm gonna, like, fist you with my head. Yum. That's a thing a zombie says once.
Yum.
That I don't think that's fisting is then.
It doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad banter in the Lollipop Chainsaw, but, you know, there's funny stuff, too, so let's axe it, since it seems like these other three are pretty...
atrocious?
Pretty consistently bad. I just wanted to mention that Lollipop Chainsaw was a game that came out, and it's really goddamn crazy and mixed.
Okay, I'd like to make a statement for why Prototype 2 should win.
I'll hear it.
Alt. There's no fucking alt. I got a fucking squiggly line key. I got a fucking key with a triangle on it. What the fuck kind of keyboard is this anyway?
That's a great point.
Right. Here's all I'm saying. Not a fan of sewers, huh? Should win.
I think that is just, you know, kind of bad writing, but this is trying so desperately to be funny and not doing that at all.
But I think there's a degree to which, like, it's even more egregious and unimpressive that Resident Evil 6 couldn't get a line like that right.
It's not that hard
to write just some sort of basic, like, kidding banter between people. But the fact that they enter a sewer and one of them's like, yuck, and the other one says, not a fan of sewers, huh? It's not even a joke. It's not even anything, but it's supposed to be.
Okay, so it's supposed to be a joke, but the Prototype 2 computer monologue is supposed to be a joke, and it is just so bad.
Well, if we're going to talk about things that are supposed to be jokes that are unfunny, we should probably get to Tiny Tina.
Okay, so Tiny Tina...
Like, if we're going to give this award to something that is trying really hard and failing, that I feel like Tiny Tina should win.
I can get behind that. Tiny Tina says things like badonkadonk and what were some other ones?
I don't know. That's pretty much all I remember.
Well, that's all I remember because those are the only word that I've ever heard before. There was like words that no person would ever say.
Right. Can we... Because Tiny Tina's a character, so I feel like we should be nominating Prototype 2 and Resident Evil 6, like, in their
entirety. Because we have Best Banter next and as Claptrap, so...
So maybe, yeah. Like... Because there's some other stuff in Resident Evil 6, like, when Jake's part... I forget who the fuck... Sherry... is being chased by the nemesis thing, and Jake gets thrown through a window. He's like, it's always something with women.
And then Tiny Tina says something like, gonna eat so many goddamn crumpets, it's gonna be a crump-pocalypse.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, too.
She has the worst line as her last line in that game.
What was that one?
I don't know, but I remember it was like she sang a song and it was really bad. And I remember we both said that was the worst thing she said in this entire game.
That's not the line where she was like squishy, 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 right?
I don't know.
Sounds riveting.
Yeah, she was all like, you know, making it's going to make squishy noises or whatever. I don't know. It's so dumb.
There's a degree to which I almost feel like Resident Evil 6 is trying really hard to be like Uncharted. And it like and it's so pathetically just not that, even as someone who doesn't like Uncharted as much as most people. Like, the standard of banter in Uncharted is so far above Resident Evil 6, and from, like, the way Resident Evil 6 is designed, to the amount of set pieces, to the, like, two characters jabbing at each other which as crazy shit's going on, like, it just lies there like a goddamn drowning fish.
And then
not drowning, suffocating.
And then there are lines
fish don't that, drown generally.
And then there are lines that Tina says like, "Sup, sucka? It's Tiny it's Tina. I wrote you a poem, and it goes a little something like this. Break it down. Kill Jack, 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 kill Jack. A poem by Tiny Tina." That was the final line that she said.
Yeah.
That is not a poem. That's not funny. That's just saying some annoying thing in an annoying voice, like, 10 different times.
Oh, so, like, everything in Borderlands 2.
And then she's all like, "Bang the babies!"
Nice. Zing.
And, then let's put Borderlands 2 up on the list as worst banter, like
Resident
Evil 6 worst banter.
Well, hold on,
because
I don't think
banter.
You two genuinely think that Borderlands 2 as a whole has the worst banter. It seemed like you guys thought Borderlands 2 was in spots quite funny.
Yeah, it is in spots quite funny.
Okay, so let's not do that. Let's not commit to that if you guys aren't with it.
That's Mushy Snugglebites Badonkadonk. She's my main squeeze. Lady got a gut full of dynamite and a booty like pow.
Yeah, wow. That's really bad.
I haven't actually heard
also, that's really bad, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to dispute that that's really bad, and maybe this is just because I had to review... It's almost assuredly because I had to review Resident Evil 6 that I feel so strongly about it winning this category.
I'm a little teapot, bloody and cut, here's my handle and here is my butt.
Okay.
You know, this is like just straight reading like Nicki Minaj lyrics and just being like, how the
really, I think
fuck
it's sort of
this?
Like beat poetry.
Oh.
Climb the pipe to the train, or you'll go insane. What? That's a rap song I wrote.
Here's the thing. That's awful. I agree. That's awful. But it's an awful character in like a comedy game.
Real badasses eat chocolate chip cookies. I'ma get that tattooed across my butt in an old English font.
And maybe I'm just maybe this makes absolutely no sense, but there is a degree to which I feel like a hit or miss character in a comedy game is expected.
No.
Okay.
I'm gonna say it again. That's Mushy Snugglebites Badonkadonk. She's my main squeeze. Lady's got a gut full of dynamite and a booty like pow.
Okay, let's give it to Tiny Tina. Because that's just, I'm hearing that and I'm just getting angry, so. Even though, let it be known, Resident Evil 6 has some bad banter.
Mm-hmm.
Like the trouble with women, and it's always something with women, and
oh,
not a bit of sewers, huh?
Let's be totally clear. That's number two on this list, and it's it's no less terrible, but the amount that Tiny Tina sucks.
That's true. There's definitely, like, and she talks quickly, too.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you can get some ironic enjoyment from Resident Evil 6. Like,
yeah,
that's just flat out bad.
It's sort of the thing, like, you know, bad
it was like bad comedies aren't funny.
Yeah, bad comedies aren't funny. Bad dramas are. So, yes. Yeah. Tiny Tina should win this, but Resident Evil 6...
Get on out or I'll punch your butt, because that's how Tiny Tina roll.
See, like...
How did this character get passed through?
Because it's written sister. By the guy who plays, "Hey Ash, what you playing?" And his sister is the voice of Tiny Tina, and that's the exact character that she plays in that dumb show that's not funny at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, didn't that guy say he was trying to go for a Firefly feel?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was the music.
No, that was the writing.
Oh, okay.
No, the music
actually
does have a Firefly feel.
Yeah, like the opening cutscene, it's kind of a little bit Firefly-y,
yeah.
Where you're on the train.
Yeah, one of the best pilot episodes of Firefly ever.
That's worst
one of the best pilot episodes.
Because nice. it is not the unaired pilot, it's the actual pilot. There are two. Yeah. There are technically two pilots of Firefly.
It's not. Yeah. If you even joking, the train job is better than Serenity. I'm gonna the internet.
No, the train job isn't the worst episode of that show, though.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it
I
is.
Think that one with the
Heart of Gold, the one with the prostitutes, is the second worst. But the train
Heart
job
of Gold
is the worst. No, train job's worst.
Heart of Gold worst. Is the worst. You know what's the worst? Objects what? In space.
Yeah, you're right. I hate that episode.
Yeah.
So worst.
What's it all mean? Why did that guy
just put
not understand
just put
what the
my
guy was
damsels
saying?
Near the choo choo track and set them off? Good plan. Great plan.
Congratulations to Tiny Tina from Borderlands. You get the worst banter award.
Please smack
up.
Mr.
Flesh
Dick.
Resident Evil 6 Prototype 2.
Please smash Mr. Flesh Dick in his bitch face.
Love it.
10-9, she pushes the button and the rockets launch off. She says, I got bored. Can't count.
All right.
Tiny Tina, Borderlands 2, winner of the worst banter
game
award. So let's talk about best banter. What do you say?
All right. I don't feel strongly about any of these because I haven't really played any of the games.
All right. So we got Paper Mario Sticker Star. There's some really good banter with the Toads and with Kirsty. Kirsty. That kind of edge on Mario.
And she
and
just
Mario
keeps calling
games.
A comic a hipster, and it's pretty funny.
There's some really good banter between Batman, Superman, and Robin in Lego's Batman 2. Robin is basically trying his hardest to get Batman to appreciate him, but at the same time, he's in love with how good Superman is, and so Batman is you know really self-conscious about any time that Robin's around Superman because Batman's not getting the praise, and Superman is just a total douche and doesn't realize it. And then we have Claptrap from Borderlands 2, mainly because of the sad birthday party.
The sad birthday party. Oh, man.
In Claptrap, in Borderlands 2, Claptrap
in
has...
Claptrap 2.
In Borderlands 2.
Would have been a better
2,
game.
No. The refrain from using too much Claptrap is necessary.
Yeah, no, that is one thing they completely nailed in the comedy in that game is they limited Claptrap and they did it very well.
There is a side quest that you can choose to go on where you try to send out invitations for Claptrap's birthday party, and everyone around town is like, yeah, totally, I'm not gonna go to that. And so Claptrap starts his birthday party and you basically have to wait around for I think it's what, 90 seconds, 2 minutes, as he goes through all the motions of his birthday party. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he's like, oh, well, no one came. Well, that's okay because you're here and you know, you're my, minion. You're my minion. So of course you're going to be here. And we have pizza. We got party, like the party blower things. And like, there's actually an objective that pops up in the mission that says like blow the party streamer, and you blow it and go, bing! And he's like, yeah, that's so great. We're having such a great time. And it's really sad. It's really depressing. And I think it's fitting for a character that people love so much to put him in such a terrible place where no one in that game, it is exactly what they need to do with Duke Nukem. No one likes Duke Nukem except for Duke Nukem. And no one likes Claptrap except for Claptrap. And that's what makes Claptrap work in Borderlands 2.
Hmm. You know what game actually has the best banter? It's Persona 4 Golden. You can't nominate it.
So in Paper Mario Sticker Star, there are a lot
of
times...
Jeez, you didn't even address that. You just steamrolled me.
Yeah, sorry.
What a dick.
Sorry. In Paper Mario...
Not as good as Persona 3.
In Paper Mario... It's true. So in Paper Mario Sticker Star, there are times where, like, a Toad will come up to you and he's like, well, Bowser took Peach again, so I guess you gotta go save her, because that's what you do, because you're Mario. And that happens like three times over what I played, and each time it was pretty funny because they all had something different to say. Like one was like, "Oh, great! Well, you can't really do your job now, can you?" The other one was like, "Please save us!" You know, they had different levels of praise towards Mario and him saving Peach all the time and saving them all the time. And then the things with Christy sticker anagram. Anagram?
I have a question about our definition of banter. Because depending on our definition of banter, I might be interested in nominating the way, like, the cross-squad communication develops in Spec Ops.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean.
Like, it's not funny, which I guess is implicit in banter, but the way it starts really, like, procedural and... And, like, everybody is just very, you know, kill confirmed. And then at the end of the game...
you're just like, fuck.
Yeah,
fuck.
You reload and you're just like, fuck, man. Gotta...
I mean, that is squad banter, yeah.
And I think that's...
I think that...
That's a really good touch.
I think Batman, Superman, and Robin should win this because at one point in the game, after Batman and Superman get stuck in a, like, bad part and... It's like Lex Luthor and Joker are teaming up, and they actually mess up Superman, and they get him hit with kryptonite, and he's down and out for the count for a little bit, and Robin actually saves them both, and Batman goes, "Good job, Robin. You did good." And Robin starts to, like, cry, and he goes, you've never said that to me before.
That's a pretty good moment.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm just saying if we can... If we can get Spec Ops in on this, I think that's definitely, like, the cleverest use of banter.
Hmm.
Like, I think...
It's a bit original.
Yeah. It's really original, and the way that, like, thing sort of extends to even, like, the loading screen tips...
Oh, I love loading screen.
Telling you, like, you're a good person.
I love that game. It's, loading screens... They're great.
Yeah.
Hey, Matthew, you want to talk about how much you love Spec Ops: The Line some more? I don't think that the listeners at home really know how much you like that game.
Well,
how about you describe some more Borderlands 2 jokes in detail, Quint?
Yeah, really. Fuck you. You read like the entirety of like Batman, like Claptrap's birthday party, like side quest, and I'm just like, yeah. And there's a couple of parts of the second, I'm just like, what? Can you like fucking hurry it up?
No, I was making a joke at you saying I really like that game. I wasn't making a joke.
I actually hate you. But I think Spec Ops is worth seriously considering in this because I mean that is a really innovative and really like. Good use of banter in like what that game is trying to do, like the gradual deterioration of your squad and how things just get more and more dire, and by the end you won't even really talk to each other, you'll just shout at each other, just like you when you reload you don't say I gotta reload, you just say fuck, which is really like that says a lot about where that game goes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth considering. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like someone X'd off Claptrap and put on Spec Ops.
I did.
So, I mean, are we in agreement about that, though?
Yeah.
I mean, I would think Claptrap is better than Paper Mario.
I like the cynicism in Paper Mario more than I like...
I feel like that cynicism is not near present enough.
I don't think that it needs to be. I think doing it once or twice is more effective.
Yeah, this isn't like most banter necessarily. This is just like...
Yeah, but the amount of like, you meet Wiggler and him, he's not that great of a character, and the banter with him is not great. So if we're going to judge Paper Mario Sticker Star as a game, I think Wiggler kind of brings down...
We haven't done that yet, so I don't see why we should start now.
I think,
it is listed as Paper Mario Sticker Star in the category.
Oh, sure.
Oop, I spelled that wrong. I think that, well, like with worse banter, you know, we're really judging, like, a specific aspect of...
Okay, and now that you wrote cynicism there, then that is fine. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
I think... Like, the Batman, Superman, Robin stuff sounds pretty funny. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have a problem with this going to like any of these three, but I do think that Spec Ops does something really interesting with that.
So I'd like to nominate Resident Evil 6.
Not a fan of sewers, huh? And no,
I'd
more
like
tears
to lower my price.
Has lowered to what was it? It was just like $1
free. Like, I don't know. He's like, no, it's like $10,000 or something like that.
That's not low enough.
Yeah, well, from $50 million.
Yeah, that's true. It's a simplistic amount of money.
To another simplistic amount of money.
Yeah.
It's like Birdemic.
Yeah, it is like Birdemic.
I made $1 million sale that was half off.
You lost the company $1 million?
We sold this company for $10 million.
We should watch Birdemic.
I've seen Birdemic like 3 times. I don't know that I need to do that again.
That's what we've come to, is we need to see Birdemic again.
I think the room for the cancer line is up there.
I have cancer.
I definitely have breast cancer.
That's true, and then they just never bring it up again.
Why can't
you? Pictures of spoons.
Why? Why do you? Why did you do the drugs? Why?
Yeah, his drug habit that like is non-existent for most of that movie.
Your dad would be a pot, Lisa.
That's especially good.
Hi,
in
doggy.
The, like, 3 or 4 hour Flash Room game someone put out, like the Room RPG. Is yep. You have like an extended thing where you take the drug dealer down to the police station, but his name is just still drug dealer. Because that's good.
And they're, but the greatest part is they're meeting on the roof of this apartment complex.
Yeah, all of the scenes where like they need to be talking to one another, but they're also playing football, so they're like passing the football 2 feet
in an alleyway
between each other.
They're passing the football like a foot from each other in the middle of an alleyway set that is like the size of, you know, like 2 5-foot walls.
I don't know if you knew this, but that wasn't a green screen. That's just how flat San Francisco looks. It's
Hi,
the
doggy.
Flattest city on Earth. That's our tag.
I'd like to nominate Air Report for best banter.
Yeah. You know, they got some good thing going on. They got a really strong sense of, you know, who they are. And yeah, they really react off each other in a very good way.
I think they're kind of fucking dumb myself.
I don't know, man.
Especially that Evan Tognani.
Not enough social commentary.
Not enough dick jokes, really.
Yeah, one of them didn't like the ending of Hotline Miami, so I don't know that I can...
The other one didn't even play it.
I think we should decide on this.
Okay.
Because I don't feel like this is going to be a real, like, nail-biter in terms of us not wanting to give in. So I feel pretty strongly that I think we should honor Spec Ops's like coolness in that regard.
I think so too.
That's fine.
Awesome. All right.
I'm against it.
All right. You fucker. All right. Give me your reasoning why Lego
kidding.
Batman 2 should win.
You see, it's really funny because like it draws on comics.
Okay. Yeah, I see what he's talking about. I think we need to have this talk.
Best banter goes to the squad dynamics in Spec Ops The Line. Runners up the Batman Superman Robin relationship in Lego Batman 2, which sounds a little like slash fiction, not gonna lie.
Well, I mean, yeah, because they had to write their own script. But if you like, whenever you think about those three characters, what are the defining aspects of those three characters? You know, Superman is, you know, the superhero, so of course he's gonna have an ego. Batman is the cynic, and Robin tries to look up to Batman because he's a fucking douchey bird.
For the record, I didn't say fan fiction; I said slash fiction, by which I meant a three-way.
Oh,
yeah.
Cynicism and
well,
Mario stickers.
In the
stuff.
Deleted scenes of Lego Batman 2, where if you get all of the Lego bits or whatever,
Aquaman shows up, and they actually have some uses.
They have some. They have a party.
And then if you put in a password, you actually need some janitors.
Yeah, yeah. And it turns out that Lego Batman is all about these janitors that are giving kids Legos, and then these kids using their imagination to craft stories about Legos.
And that sounds like a much happier version of what goes down in Hotline Miami.
Well, you know, it is an E10 game, so.
Yeah, that's true.
You can play Legos with the janitors and you leave.
So, yeah, congratulations, Spec Ops The Line. You weren't even nominated at the start of this podcast, but you made your way in.
So I'm going to skip this one. We're going to use that one last. I want to go to Best Worst Use of FMV.
All right. This isn't even a talk.
No, it's not a talk, but we've got to honor the great uses of FMV in video games this year. We've got Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Intel Discovered, and Alan Wake's American Nightmare. Now, in Alan Wake's American Nightmare, all of the character-specific moments between Mr. Scratch and Alan Wake are done on a green screen with, like, fog all around them, and Alan Wake looking around trying to find Mr. Scratch, holding a gun up and a flashlight, and then Mr. Scratch is standing behind him, cackling, and Alan Wake never turning around, which I think is That's really awesome. Stupid.
Didn't Wavy Tube Man Chronicles come out on Windows?
Yeah, but it came out last year.
So. I know. But it's so good.
I know.
But it doesn't matter.
Call of Duty Black Ops 2, I actually can't remember. I remember there being FMV in there that I was like, dude, that's real dumb. But the winner is Intel Discovered because it's the only – it has the most FMV, and it's also the worst FMV.
It's so good, though.
But where else can you hang out with Chris Evans?
That's true.
You're just in a tour group. And then Chris Evans is like, we need an actor. Yeah, you look good. Come with me.
I'm just going to say, I watched Clint try to air hump Chris Evans.
Yeah, we both did.
Yeah. That's the worst use of FMV right there.
That may have been the worst thing I've ever seen this year.
Don't worry about it.
And in video games.
Don't worry about it.
So congratulations, Intel Discovered.
Yeah.
I need to shut you on my top 10 list.
Winning our best worst use of FMV category, runners-up, Alan Wake, American Nightmare, and Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
You deserved it.
We've got one more category
for this podcast, and it's going to be a real nail-biter of a category here. We're going to fight to the bitter end for the most fine and decent game of the year.
All right.
All right.
So we've got nominees New Super Mario Bros. U, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, and Spec Ops The Line.
Mario.
Spec Ops.
Here's my logic. The man who says that Spec Ops The Line is his game of the year is also the person who inspired this category by calling Spec Ops The Line the most fine and decent game of the year.
Where this category started should be an irrelevancy as to what we give this award to.
But with Matthew saying that, I would also like to revoke any vote he has other than for Spec Ops.
No.
Fuck you.
Look, no, because you said it is the most fine and decent game.
You said that it's fine. It's decent.
In the morning, and I was talking about Spec Ops for 30 minutes, and you finally got me into some stupid language trap.
Okay, look.
And you're like, oh, you said that. Blah, blah.
I didn't get you into a language
trap. We have
trap.
Miles as a witness to this.
Okay, look.
Yeah, Miles
look,
backing me up. Miles
here's why dick. Mario needs to win this. And Mario needs to win this.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that series at this point is just depressingly fine and decent. Like, hey. It is the most fine and decent.
Hey, Evan.
Not only that, but it is a worse New Super Mario Bros. Game than the earlier ones because of its just batshit insane multiplayer control option.
Then I don't think that's fine. I don't think that is fine then.
Evan.
But it is fine because it's a very competently made Mario game.
Hold on. Call of Duty Black Ops 2 has the exact same argument that can be made for it. It is
right, but at least Call of Duty Black Ops 2 has something new. I mean, it does. It has that.
New Super Mario Bros. 2 U does have something new.
I would dispute that it is new in the same way or impact as the moral choice.
I mean, it has new in the title, though, Evan. You can't dispute
seriously.
That.
Why it needs to win, because that is a joke. That has become
ironic. It's got a new suit. It's got a new gamepad mechanic. And it's got fucking HD graphics, okay? Call of Duty Black Ops 2 is using the same engine that's been using for the past 6 games now?
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. I'm not disputing that.
It's decent. It's game of the year, actually. I think that Call of Duty Black Ops 2 should be the most fine and decent game of the year.
Black Ops 2 actually has some, even if they don't all work, it has some marginally interesting things going on in it.
What?
With that moral choice stuff. That is entirely new to the Call of Duty series.
So the moral choice stuff that we immediately asked whenever I wanted to talk about it in RPG.
Different category, different circumstance. That's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about why Mario is more fine and decent than Call of Duty, and I think the level of fatigue and sameness should be a major factor in that.
And I think that even with those choices, it is still that same level of fatigue, that same, you're going through this campaign, you're going through this multiplayer, you are basically going through the motions, just like you're going through a Mario game, going through the motions.
Here's the other thing. Going the last new Super Mario Brothers game came out in August.
Yeah, but that one was totally different. It was new.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, because it was all about
that
coins.
That might be a record. It was all about coins. That there was like 3 months in between those games.
But
and they
all
are
about
like
coins.
Identical.
And they're on different systems and stuff. They're for different audiences.
I mean, you could say, oh, wait, but Assassin's Creed 3 came out on the 360 and then it came out on the Wii U. It's two different systems.
No, but they're two different games that are the same game, and they are in the same series.
And also,
Assassin's Creed 3 didn't come out as a different game with the exact same mechanics on the Wii U.
But it did come out as the same game, but more broken than the last one.
But that's not what we're.
No, I know. It's just something that it's just. Hey, you opened the door and you said, please make fun of Assassin's Creed 3 by mentioning it. So I had to.
Fair.
I mean, what you're saying, I think, is not really a big point to that because, like Clint said, the Wii U was a new system. And
so?
New Super Bros.
If anything, the fact that New Super Mario Bros. U is the exact same thing as a launch title for a new system makes it even more fine and decent. Like, that is the perfect opportunity for Nintendo to take that series in an interesting direction, and they didn't.
Okay, now I have to ask, did you say that New Super Mario Bros. U was fine in your review?
I don't think so.
All right, then Call of Duty Black Ops 2 is the winner.
Yeah, I don't like using the word fine in reviews. I think it's cheap and easy.
I think you're cheap
most
and easy.
Cheap and easy game of the year.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Cheap and easy game of the year. Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Until discovered.
That's true, because it's free. Except you have to upload 25 pictures to Facebook before you can get the last achievement.
Yeah, I mean, the generation gap between the games in that series, I think, is even more of an indictment. Like, at least all those same Call of Duty games have come out on the same generation of consoles. They have had 6 years and...
They've had 6 years to change, but they haven't done anything with it.
Yeah, exactly, and that's worse.
But the new series has had 4 years to change and hasn't done anything with it.
No, it's had more than that. It's had, like, 5 or 6 years.
Okay, well, then...
And it's had that many games... It is had like 6 games in as many years. It's practically an annual franchise.
You know what? You're practically an annual franchise.
I'm just saying, man, if Call of Duty Black Ops 1 had come out 3 months before Black Ops 2, maybe we could talk. But the, as far as I can say, like, Mario is the most fatiguing and fine and decent game I could imagine. Like, it's... especially for a launch title on a new system with a whole new control gimmick that's not even used to play the goddamn game.
Oh, but you can do boost mode.
Yeah, that's true.
Boost like... mode. It's,
yeah, it's totally,
look, so, so Evan, I have this one Wii U controller and this one Wii U. I mean, I have this one Wii U controller and this one Wiimote.
Yeah.
Do you want to come over and play as Mario and Luigi on?
Oh, we can't.
Oh.
We can't because the game's broken.
Call of Duty Black Ops 2 isn't broken, and it is just fine and decent. If Mario U is broken, then it can't be just fine and decent. It's just bad.
There's probably a part of Black Ops 2 that's broken.
Those missions.
Yeah, the goddamn Strike Force missions.
Oh, yeah, those are just... Well, they're optional, actually, so...
Yeah, boost
the first was optional to play multiplayer.
No, but I think Evan has said multiple times that like, that is one of the defining things about the new series, is that you have co-op.
Defining or not... It's still an aspect that's broken, and still an aspect of Black Ops that's broken, if we're going to start having this, like, this comparison.
This philosophical debate.
Yeah. Because Spec Ops The Line should be the winner, because it's stated.
There is no good reason for Spec Ops The Line to... Mario and Black Ops 2 do nothing interesting. Spec Ops does something interesting.
All right, Matthew called... Never mind.
Whether or not he called it that is irrelevant, because we have this category and we have two games that are entirely more fine and decent than Spec Ops is. Spec Ops is a goddamn unique game in one way.
Unique New York.
I feel like I don't care about this category that much. I just wanted to get more of a chance to point out how Matthew called Spec Ops The Line fine and decent.
The whole point of this category was to try and make fun of Ryan or Matthew one more time before the end of the year.
I don't know. I think part of this was to make fun of you too, Clint.
How?
Because you very repeatedly on that video we never published called Black Ops 2 just fine.
Yeah, it was totally, yeah.
No, but I mean, fine. Matthew saying Spec Ops Line is fine and decent is what made this
category.
Like,
after
that category
saying, like,
I understand that, but I mean, that doesn't mean it should win de facto, especially when we have...
No, I know, I'm saying...
No.
I just feel
Genesis...
irrelevant towards this because I got my chance to make fun of Matthew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so I don't care what wins.
The genesis for creating this category was to make fun of Matthew. Now that we've done that... I feel fine and decent about giving it to any of the two games that we've...
Like, give it to Mario, damn it.
Yeah, I feel like you're so passionate about Mario, we just have to give it to it.
Thank you. Most fine and decent game of the year goes to Mario.
Yeah.
Say the full title, man. Seriously.
Well, I'm going to do that when I read all the ones we've decided on today.
Best all right, if you want to half-ass your job, that's totally fine. You can do that. But I'd like it if you were to take this a little bit seriously. Seriously. Come on. Seriously. Come on.
Seriously, dude.
Seriously.
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 Come on.
Fine and decent. Spec Ops The Line. Quote unquote, Matthew.
I didn't.
Game of the year.
Are you guys done yet?
No.
Best open world game goes to Far Cry 3, runners-up Sleeping Dogs and Assassin's Creed 3. Best RPG mechanics and a non-RPG game
go
to Dishonored. Best RPG mechanics, non-RPG game go to Dishonored. Runners-up are The Walking Dead and XCOM. Worst banter goes to Tiny Tina in Borderlands 2, runners-up being Resident Evil 6 and Prototype 2.
For Not a Fan of Sewers, huh? And The Computer Monologue... respectively.
Best banter goes to the squad dynamics in Spec Ops The Line, runners-up being the cynicism in Paper Mario Sticker Star and the Batman-Superman-Robin three-way in Lego Batman 2. Then
that's
the
my favorite part of that game.
Then the best worst use of FMV goes obviously to Intel Discovered, runners-up being Alan Wake, American Nightmare, and Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
I'm sorry, but, That game ends with a 2v continued.
I'm so excited for episode 2 of Intel Discovered.
I know.
I don't think they're going to make that. Oh, also, I didn't realize for the longest time that the game's actually just called Discovered and sponsored by Intel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most fine and decent game of the year, as it should be, this is a personal victory. New Super Mario Bros. U, runners up. Spec Ops The Line and Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Which should not even be on the fucking list.
You said it!
I think in the spirit, in the joking spirit of this category, it should be on the list.
In that sense. In that sense,
because its gameplay is very fine and very decent.
Absolutely not.
The gameplay is very fine and very decent.
That's true.
Which was the context in which you said that. And then
yes,
I followed up.
I did not say Spec Ops The Line on the whole was fine and decent. I said gameplay aside.
I know.
I think if this were any other year, if we just had this category and Spec Ops was released a different, it wouldn't be in here. But it just is because, you know, we all kind of dislike you.
we all kind of like Spec Ops, but we all kind of dislike you.
It's really a crisis.
It's really a crisis 3.
It's all of them.
All right, those are our awards for today. Stay tuned next time for day five of Game of the Year conversations. The last day before the final run, like the final Game of the Year bash extravaganza.
How should we end this podcast? Do you want to try the knock-knock joke again?
No, I want... Ryan, give us a riddle.
Hey, guys. What time is it?
Ryan, give us a riddle.
A riddle?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not good at thinking riddles off the top of my head.
Okay, here, I've got a riddle.
What's black and white and red all over?
That was the riddle I had.
Okay, wait. Hold on. Wait.
What time is it?
Wait.
What?
I don't think that we're coming across this with like a good, like, I don't think your heart's in it.
What, the riddle?
Yeah.
Here, I'll say it with my heart in it. If you
want me to Google a riddle?
Yes.
That sounds painful, Evan.
This is really taking a while.
Evan, first you need a heart.
The first one that pops up is what's black and white and red all over.
It's a newspaper.
Sure.
Or it's like a dead panda.
Or a zebra.
Yeah.
Give me food and I will live. Give me water and I will die. What am I?
What? That doesn't even make any sense.
Whoa.
And
that's a riddle.
I don't know. I don't know if I like that.
Jesus Christ.
I'm just...
Janitors, right?
Janitors, yes.
Where's the food and I will live thing?
Okay, here we go. Now we can end now on this really stupid riddle that I have. Okay? How do you divide 17 apples among 16 people? What weighs 6 ounces, sits in a tree, and is very dangerous?
Are you just reading Riddler's riddles?
No.
Are you lying to me?
Yes.
It's like a bird with a Tommy gun or something like that.
No, it's a sparrow with a machine gun.